Gospel Truth Conference. I'm sorry, I should let people know more what's going on, these different things that we'll attend. But the first Thursday through Saturday of January, Andrew Womack's ministry has a Gospel Truth Conference. And so we went to that this year. It was amazing. The guest speaker that he had was a guy named Lance Wallnau. Has anybody heard of Lance Wallnau here? I'm telling you, that was absolutely, it wasn't what I expected. It was absolutely amazing. And so, just real quick, because it's not what I'm speaking today, but he talked about, he says, you know, revival happens in the church. Reformation happens out in the world. And all of us are little churches. Did you know that? The presence of God, we're living stones together today, but we're all the church, amen? So wherever you are on your job or wherever you are, you're a little church, like Gina said, a beacon of life and truth. The anointing of God, if you're born again, resides in you. Amen? Not just in pastors and preachers and teachers and all the, and individuals, but the light of God, the truth of God, the power of God, the anointing of God resides in every one of us. Amen? So revival, getting us revived in Him, whatever God's doing in His life and His church, and then going out for reformation, right, in the marketplace. The different areas where you have influence, right? Amen? That's how a society is changed. And there's so much more they talked about, but I'm not going to go there because I want to speak this morning on New Year's resolve. Remember last week, if you're here, you know, you've heard of New Year's resolutions. And we talked about how I think it's 9% of people that make a New Year's resolution actually stick with that and are still, you know, still have that resolution in place a year later. Matter of fact, they were saying most of them, if they have a New Year's resolution, it's gone by the wayside, bye-bye, within 30 days. Anybody ever done that, right? I'm sure you haven't. It said the older you get, the less likely you are to have a resolution because you've learned by then, right? That doesn't work. So I had titled last week, New Year's Resolve. And we talked about the difference of a resolution versus a resolve in God through the Holy Spirit in you. Having a resolve, saying, Lord, walking in His purpose. Having that resolve, talking about His purpose in our lives through the Holy Spirit, through the power of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the only change that can affect us permanently is through the power of God. Correct? Amen? If it's your own effort, out of your own ability, it most likely will not stick. And if it does, what happens is legalism can take hold of us, and then we start pointing fingers at everybody and saying, I could do it, why couldn't you? If I could do it, why couldn't you? Well, I'm not part of the 9%. I don't know about you. I'm part of the 91%. But resolve through the Holy Spirit and what He's taught me, what He's taught you, I can do that because it's in His power. The battle belongs to the Lord. Amen. He's the one that affects a change in my life. And so I talked about this morning. We talked about a little bit about I press on. Remember, we talked about Paul. He says, forgetting those things which are behind me. Remember, we talked about Paul, what he had done as far as his coming against the church when he was a Pharisee before he was converted to Jesus Christ. How he had persecuted the church, how he'd come against the church, and all that he did, and you know, and the suffering that went on, you know, the suffering that went on to all those families of the people that he came against, and he had to carry that weight knowing what he had done. And he said, you know, I can't do anything about that, but he says, one thing I can do is press toward the goal of the prize. Philippians 3:14, I press on. Amen. He said, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let me say, the upward call of God, you know, that's the affecting in your sphere of influence, right? The call of God. Obviously, God so loved the world, amen? So when you give your life to God, you gave your life to Jesus Christ, whether it was a parent or a friend or you heard a minister, but somebody gave you the good news and you opened your heart by faith and said, I believe that message is true. And I accept it into my heart. The Holy Spirit comes to reside in your heart. The seed of God comes within your heart. You're born again and there's a change. But somebody did that. Amen. Somebody. It wasn't an angel that came down and preached the gospel to you. It wasn't anything that was an individual. Even in the great move of God that they're having in Iran, in the Middle East, and those individuals, that there's been individuals that have had visions and dreams, seen angels. But even then, the angel says, hey, go talk to so-and-so. Go to such-and-such to hear a message. They're not giving the gospel message. They're just directing them, letting them know, hey, there's a truth that does exist outside the false religion that you believe. I'm directing you to where you can hear that good news. So you are light. So the upward call of God affects in your sphere of influence. I think of this gentleman that lived. His name is Louis Vose. Some of you know, I know John Harris knows Louis Vose very well. Some of you may know Louis Vose, but he's a butcher. He's not a pastor. He's not called to full-time ministry, but he was a butcher in a grocery store all his life, and then he would butcher wild game. But that was a guy who had this effect of leading hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people to the Lord. Maybe 1,000. I don't know, John Harris, how many people. But one thing, when I talk to him, he says, I may know you 5 minutes, or I may know you 5 years, but somewhere along that line, I'm going to lead you to Jesus Christ. You're going to see the love of God in my life. You're going to see the power of God in my life. You're going to see what God has done in my life. He didn't have to have a title. He didn't have to be seen by people. But one thing is, he had a great, deep love of the Lord. He had this ability. He had this calling that he realized. He says, I want to lead people to Jesus Christ. And what I love about Louis is he came from some very difficult circumstances that happened in his life. I don't understand why. But I know one thing, what should have took him out, what should have made him bitter or resentful against God, actually in his life, propelled him unto purpose. He forsook everything at what he went through and said, God, I don't care. I'm leaving that behind, and I'm pressing on to the high calling of God, leading people to the Lord by the gazillions. Is that a word? See, his sphere of influence, he was being purposeful. They're going to see the love of God in my life. And he is a man of love. And so he says, man, if you're willing to hear the gospel and get born again in 5 minutes, great. If it's going to take me 5 years, however long it takes, I want that individual to come to know the love of God. So let's not romanticize the call of God. No higher calling than being a father. Being a mother, an uncle, an aunt, being a good friend. Amen. Sometimes we take this thing of what's my calling, and we need to look at what's right in front of you. Even remember what Paul said. Paul says, hey, if you want to give your life to full-time ministry and that's what you want to eat, breathe, and drink, then don't get married. Because if you get married, you're gonna have to make your wife or your husband the priority. Let me just say this. If you're married here today, your first ministry is your family. We got to be careful that we talk about call of God, and we can romanticize that. But being a minister, loving, sowing into those that are right there around us. Amen. To friends, people around us. So sometimes even people will hear about the call of God, and they will run. Because they're saying, I don't want to be up there, or I don't want to be a missionary, I don't want to do this or do that, and they'll actually run from it because they'll get an idea, whether it be from somebody, their own mind, or the enemy, that they've got to do a certain thing, or be a certain person, or act a certain way in order to be in ministry. I think of motocross racing, motorcycle racing. Man, there's got to be people amongst those who love Jesus to be a light. Amen. I think about those who barrel race horses. They need to see the light of Jesus Christ in somebody who's a barrel racer. Amen. Whatever it is that you're involved in, that's where the Church of Jesus Christ is, really. Amen. That's where your sphere of influence. God needs people in every arena. Amen. So let's just say, let's get that romanticizing of that out of our minds and say, God, wherever I am, wherever my sphere of influence is, that's where my calling is. Because God loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, revival can't just be in the church. That won't change society. Outside of the church, in our areas of influence, is where the reformation will be. People seeing Christ in you and I, seeing how much he loves them, seeing that he can break every fetter, every chain, every bondage. Will there be people that don't agree with you, that shun you, that may come against you? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why Paul spent so much time in prison, because the gospel of grace, they came against this gospel he preached, put him in prison. Amen. But yet even then, we know even from prison, he wrote many of the letters, even like today, Philippians, that we are reading out of. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. So let me just say this. So it's about, we're pressing on. Let me say the next thing. So going from pressing on into the Lord, amen, where you are right now, your ministry with your family or whatever. Does that sound good to you guys out there? I notice it gets quiet in here. Are the heaters on too high? Every once in a while, say amen or oh me, as Pastor Lee used to say. The upward call of God. Ministry. I had a friend, Dana Metcalf, who him and his wife, pastor church in Bangkok, Thailand. And they just have this ability to go into hurting churches and just raise leadership and bring life into it. I remember many years ago, he was going to be a missionary in Bangladesh. And I remember him saying, one thing I've learned, Chad, he says, I was waiting to go to Bangladesh to officially be in ministry, but the Lord told me, he says, no, you're a minister, you're in ministry, you're walking and calling right where you are right now. So he had this mindset, no, it's not going to start till I get to Bangladesh. He says, no, my effect on people starts right where I am, amen and amen. So one, I press on. Are you pressing on in him? And it's forgetting those things from 2022. I don't know about you, but there's some things I just need to just let go of. Move past. Let it be in the past. I move on, knowing the Lord has forgiven me of those things. Amen. Saying, Lord, thank you for forgiving me of those things. Jesus, forgive me of those things. Thank you for the effect of the washing of my sins by the blood. And now I move on in the growth of him. Somebody say that. I press the number one. Number two, it's about attitude. Pressing on is about your attitude. Do you remember when you were younger, did you ever hear from a parent saying, you better change your attitude? You ever heard that from a parent? Yeah. My mama said, you better change your attitude or I'm going to help you. You ever heard that one? Philippians 3, it's about attitude. You have a good attitude this morning, don't you? Hallelujah. It's about attitude. Philippians 3, 15 and 16 says, therefore, all who are mature, this is talking about, hey, he said, I'm talking to the mature, those who matured in the Lord, that have grown in the Lord. He says, therefore, all who are mature, let's have this attitude, he says. Let's have this attitude. Let's have this attitude. And if anything, and I love this, it says, and if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that to you as well. Wow. He says, however, let's keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. So how do we press on? Number one is this, what's our attitude? Amen. An attitude, obviously you've heard that term of an attitude of gratitude. First thing is saying, Lord, thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you for what you're doing in my life. Even in the middle of the struggle, start declaring, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in my life. It's always about attitude. It's simple. Even in the workplace, isn't it about attitude? Man, who gets promoted? Those with a good attitude, right? An attitude, it really is going to determine where you're going to go in life, right? Who likes to hang around a person with a bad attitude all the time? Nobody. The Lord knows that. That's common sense. Even then, a common sense saying, it's about our attitude, an attitude of gratitude. It's an attitude saying, Lord, I know you're leading me this year. Lord, I know that. I believe that you're going to lead each one of my steps. I choose to believe that. I choose to make my attitude line up as if my mind and my will and my emotions knows that you're leading and guiding me. So I think a lot of times people don't realize God's saying, man, I want to promote you. I want to do some things. What's your attitude? What's your attitude? Your attitude. The Lord, but the good thing is he even says here, but even if you're struggling with an attitude when you're hearing the voice of God and want to hear the voice of God, he says, he'll show you that. He didn't browbeat him then. He says, he'll show you that. He says that some of you don't realize how important your attitude is. The Lord's going to show you that. He'll reveal that to you. Aren't you glad that we serve a good, good Father? Aren't you glad that he's for us and not against us? That he's wanting to say, yeah, I want to help you here. I want to help your attitude. Sometimes if we're not careful, we've been in such a, we can also call it a mood. Anybody ever been in a mood? It could be along the same line as attitude. Attitude. And our mood directs us. It's going to determine where we end. It's going to determine how effective, how we're that call of God on our lives. Attitude's going to determine everything. It's just the way it is, amen? If you're a good worker and you're at work, do you want to be around somebody who has a bad, grumbling attitude? No. Do you want to have friends that bring you down that have a bad, grumbling attitude? No. I mean, attitude has everything to do with everything. You know, our attitude is up to us. God reveals it. He says, God will show you. God shows us. And it says, here's an opportunity for you to grow. See, attitude has everything to do where we are as far as our maturity in the Lord. You know how young kids are? I mean, can their attitude just change every 5 minutes? I got candy, I'm happy. You take my candy away, or I want more candy, you say no, you're going to see my attitude change. And so what does a good parent do? They train them. I'm going to train you. I'm going to train your attitude. Even as adult, let me just tell you, the Holy Spirit desires to train our attitude. We can throw a fit like we're 3 years old and be 30 years old. We can throw a fit like we're 4 years old but be 40 years old. You can throw a fit like a 5 year old and be a 50 year old. And it has everything to do with our attitude, training our attitude. I don't know about you, but I was glad to have a mom and a dad who adopted me and my two sisters that says, you're going to change your attitude. I didn't like it then. Didn't like it much at all. And sometimes when you're going through a middle thing and the Lord speaks and says, you need to change your attitude, we want to say, yeah, but they took my toy. It's the same, it's a different situation, but it's really the same. But this happened or that happened. And the Lord's speaking to us saying, let it go. Just follow me, trust me. Change your attitude. Allow me to grow. Your attitude has everything to do with your maturity level. Amen? Does it matter? What I love about the Lord is him saying once again, it says, and look, if you're struggling, you can't see your attitude, he'll show you. You have a heart saying, yeah, I want to see that. Lord, show me that. I don't know about you, but I'm becoming more aware of just not, I was talking about this Wednesday, I'd got myself in this thing of just having these cliches. God's a healer. We know he's a healer. And so I would just have all these scriptures I would just bust out, healing, 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 and whatever it is, I would just bust all these scriptures out, and I didn't realize, man, I'm becoming almost like a robot. And said, Lord, man, don't become a robot. You're a person. I love you. I see your struggle. I see where you're at. Don't get into this mindset about just got to have every, you know, all these little robotic things where we say, and it becomes a recipe. Lord, it's a relationship. It's not a recipe. It's a relationship. Amen. The Lord loves us. Hey, man, I'm struggling with my faith here. Man, I believe in your healing, but man, doggone it, my attitude stinks, Lord. I've been praying about this for a long time. And what happens is we can start having these robotic sayings, but behind it, we've got a bad attitude. And then we start thinking it's just about getting the words right, getting the knowledge and saying things right. But I think what the Lord showed me, he says, Chad, I'm more concerned about your attitude. I'm more concerned about the underlying thing. I'm more concerned about that because I want you to walk in my rest. Even when you're pressing in, you're walking in his rest, amen, his strength. Like I said before, when Paul said, hey, I worked harder than all of them, he said, but not me, but the grace of God. The grace, walking in his rest and grace. You can be working and joyful on the job, working hard, and walking in his rest. And it all starts with your attitude. Our attitude. An attitude of gratitude. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the word of God. I thank you, Lord, that you help us with our attitudes, that you show us. You want to show us. Philippians 2, 3, and 5, let's talk about how what Jesus did. It says, talking about attitude, it says, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit. That's just meaning we're doing that so we'll be noticed, you know, doing things to be noticed. But with humility, consider one another as more important than yourselves. What is that? Did I read that wrong? But it says with true humility, but with humility, consider one another as more important than yourself. That's just a heart of serving others, a love of God, deep love for one another. 1 Peter 4 says, love each other deeply, with deep affection. Love one another. Loving each other with deep affection. He says, consider others. When you, it's not talking about that you think you're no good, or that you're a piece of garbage, or you have no value. No, the more, actually, when you realize who you are in Christ Jesus and how valuable you are to him, you're confident in yourself. You have no problem esteeming others. Amen? That's what Jesus did when he walked on the earth. It'll say it right here. He was esteeming others better than himself. You say, well, how do you know? How about when he was washing their feet? Amen? Washing their feet. How about when he was dying on the cross? They're spitting on him. They're mocking him and shaming him. Man, he could have called down, we know, legions and of angels and just wiped that out completely right there. But he esteemed others better than himself, gave his entire life, shed his blood, accomplishing what God had set him out to do. Hallelujah. Now he has a name that's above every name. Amen. So do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility consider one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. And then it says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is where this is who modeled that, Jesus on earth. Jesus, when he knew that he was going to be betrayed by, Judas, thank you. Even though he knew he was stealing from the till, still treating him like the others. Treating him, even though he knew he was going to be the one that would betray the Son of Man. Wow. And it says up there, it says, however, verse 16, I want to go back. It says, however, it's let's keep living by what same standard to which we have obtained. Okay, so let's not give up ground in our lives. You know how we don't give up ground in our lives? It's our attitude. It doesn't matter what situation you might find yourself in. If your attitude remains, Lord Jesus, you're with me. You're not forsaking me. I love you. You love me. You're going to get me through this deal. If we keep that type of attitude, we don't lose ground. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of losing ground. Anybody ever get tired of losing ground? I want to press on and get more ground. Most of the time where it starts with, if I'm going to lose some ground, it starts with my attitude, right? It starts with your attitude. And so that where you get to where you train yourself. I was just reading where Mark, it says that, you know, that he, if I had this real quick, let's see if I did. If I do, I mean, I'm sorry. No, I don't. But I was thinking in Mark where, it talks about that he carries our weights, right? And it says, learn from me. He says, look, I don't want you to carry these weights. My yoke is easy. He says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. But if you read a little bit, he says, learn from me. So if we learn from him, we give it to him, that's how we don't carry those weights. Those things we need to learn from him. Amen. Sometimes we'll say, man, I just pray for me. I don't want this weight on me anymore. And the Lord might be saying, you need to learn some things. Learn to trust me. You learn how to cast this thing off. learn from me. I don't know about you, but I love learning from him. And the way that I learn from him is I'm saying, Lord, thank you for having my attitude right. Thank you, Lord. Is my attitude right? I can hear you. Amen. Are we perfect in it? No, I'm not saying that. Is any, you know, this weekend, yesterday, I was like, I got to check my attitude. And that's okay. So when your ears are open and you're growing in the Lord, he'll say that. You'll hear that. That'll resonate in you. You say, okay, I'm laying that attitude down. I'm not going to, so to speak, throw a fit in this area anymore. Amen? I'm talking to adults out there, right? Amen. So let's not give up ground in our lives. Looking forward, not backwards. See, the windshield is huge, isn't it? But the rearview mirror is tiny. Man, try to navigate backwards with that tiny rearview mirror. Man, it's not easy, is it? I mean, I know modern cars have cameras, but if you have a car that just has a rearview mirror, try going 60 miles an hour with just a rearview mirror. We're not supposed to be looking back very often. We're not supposed to be looking back. We're supposed to be driving forward. See, when you're in a car, you have a destination. See, in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a destination. Looking behind us with that little rearview mirror is going to get us in trouble. We're going to wreck. We're going to crash. Has anybody ever backed into anything? Yeah. But when I'm looking out that big windshield and moving forward to my destination, amen, I can see pretty good, right? A lot better than I can out of the rearview mirror. If the windshield was in the back and the rearview mirror was in the front and you're trying to look through something like that, we're in trouble. Because the rearview mirror is not meant to navigate our lives. It's not meant. The windshield. Father, we thank you in that. What keeps us looking through that windshield, what keeps that windshield clean is our attitude. Our attitude to the Lord. Amen. Is this making sense, saints? Amen. Looking forward, not backwards. Discouragement causes people to go backwards, to give up. See, when we choose, this is where maturity in the Lord begins to take root and to be firm foundation. It's like when we come and run into discouragement, and we all will run into discouragement. If you haven't, just give it a few days or a few weeks or a few months. You're going to face discouragement. And this is where we're mature. As we mature in the Lord, we say, wait a second. I'm not going to allow my attitude to become discouraged. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to know that he's going to help me through this. Lord, you're teaching me that I don't have to have my way in everything. Amen. That's the truth. I might be the only one here that experiences that. Discouragement causes people, their attitude, then go backwards. Amen. You ever met somebody who's become discouraged and their attitude changes? Amen. And they lose ground or whatever. They kind of give up. Man, but maturity says, I'm not going to allow my mood or attitude to make me discouraged. I'm going to grow in this. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Amen. He's there even in our struggles. He's still there with us. Do you believe that? Man, you better. We're in trouble. And then obviously pride causes people to go backwards, looking to self but not Christ. We know the scripture says that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Because what will happen when our attitude begins to get bad or harden a little bit, our attitude, we'll say, I can do this myself. That's the first thing will happen. When our attitude, we get out of that attitude of gratitude, that attitude of humbleness, when our attitude starts to get bad, the first thing that happens is, I can do this. We don't realize it. And this is not being mean. We don't realize when we're doing that, we're saying, God, I don't need your help here. Or God, I don't trust your help here. Or I'm upset with you, so I'll just do it myself. And then until we humble ourselves, he's always gracious. You ever been there? You finally say, you know, in the spirit, say, Uncle, right? Lord, I humble myself. Help me here. That's okay, too. That's part of what we just read where it says, and he'll show you that, too. He'll show you that there. He didn't leave you or whatever. He's just allowing us to say, okay, Lord, I just turn this over to you again. I don't know about you, there'll be a time again where I'm going to face that. I'm going to say, man, God, what was I thinking? Here I am again trying to do it in my own strength. Give this to you, Lord. Give me the wisdom and the circumstances. Lord, help me to forgive this individual. Lord, help me to be set free from this struggle, whatever it may be. And Lord, I'm giving this to you. Lord, help me to once again to believe you and trust you for healing in Jesus' name. Whatever it is we're going through, I got to move on now. Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Okay, number three as we move on. So number one, in case you were wondering, I press on. In 2023, I'll get it right. Two, it's about attitude, right? Do you agree with that? Number three, it's standing for the truth in 2023. And you have to listen to me, because these are some sobering scriptures right here that the great apostle Paul wrote. And it says, finally, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Amen. He's writing this from prison. He says, I rejoice in the Lord. He says, finally, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble for me, and it is a safeguard for you. And then he says this, it's interesting, he said, beware of the dogs. And I've seen the signs in people's yards that said, beware of dog. But I don't think he's talking about your neighbor's yard with a fence that says, beware of dog, right? He's not talking about that. He said, beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the false circumcision. And I'm bringing this up because of the time that we live in today. The time is, so what are these, what do we mean by beware of dogs? You know, wild dogs, coyotes, dogs on the loose? No, he's talking about people here. He's talking about people. Let me just say that he's talking about in 2 Peter 2:22. It says this. This gives us a little hint of what he's talking about. It has happened to them, according to the true proverb, this is Peter, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow after washing returns to wallowing in the mire. See, at this time, he's talking about those who had come into Christ, and things wouldn't go their way, and then they would give up and just say, I don't believe that anymore. Or they would take the certain truths of God and say, no, that's not what it means. And so they would malign the word of God. They would take things that were straight and make them crooked. These were talking about those who had come into the faith and then said, no, I don't believe that anymore. Matter of fact, I believe this, but I don't believe in any truths, or I don't believe in good or evil. It's whatever, it's just a free-for-all, whatever you want. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about those. There were many of those who would come into Christ, and they would start getting persecuted, and they say, I'm not in for this. The heat's too high. This is too much of a struggle. I'm going to renounce my faith. If there's going to be any trouble in my life, anything come against me, I don't want this. I signed up for something much different. So their faith doesn't even take any root. And they say, I don't want that. And they walk away from it. Why does he say beware of the dog? Because it can be those that you had fellowship with, those that were part of your life, and then they start saying things to you that aren't true. That's not truth. God's grace and love, that's not true. If that's true, why did this happen to you? And so it's people that have been in your inner circle, people that you care for, that have your ear, will start declaring and speaking absolute lies. And the Word of God, not me, the Word of God calls them dogs. Not me. Aren't you glad that you're not a dog? No dogs in here. All dogs are at home in the backyard. All dogs are sleeping comfortably in your couch or in your bed or wherever they're sleeping right now. Aren't you glad you aren't a dog? Hallelujah. As far as this analogy, that you're maturing in God, you're maturing in truth, you're maturing in his victory. I'm not saying you don't have struggles. I'm not saying that there's not things going on. You're like, man, how long? No, I'm talking about those who just come, they deny Christ and say, I don't believe that anymore. We're living in a day and age that we're hearing people that have been famous, even people that were singing artists now saying that's not real. Now walking away from the Lord Jesus. It has happened. This is what Revelation 22, 14 through and 15 says. Revelation 22, it says, blessed are those who wash their robes so they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates of New Jerusalem. Who's here has been, who's washed their robes so they're in the blood of Jesus? Hallelujah. Amen. How many of you put your faith in the resurrection of Christ? Amen. But it says, but outside are the dogs and sorcerers, and the sexually immoral, and murderers, and idolaters, and anyone who loves and practices falsehood. Amen? When you give your life to Jesus, it may not happen suddenly, but he brings you out of falsehood. Amen? That's called coming into maturity. The things that you might thought were right before, you're like, wait, the God's putting his finger on that. He says, no more. Or this is bringing harm to my life. This is bringing depression to my life. This is whatever the case is. The Holy Spirit is grieved, and he pinpoints that and says, hey, let me show you something here. Let's remove this. Let's repent of that. I love you. Let's move on. Let's move on. Let's press on. Let's press on. Aren't you glad that even in all your struggles here, are you pressing on? Saying, here's how we pray, Lord, I belong to you. I put my faith and trust in you. Lord, I need you to help me with my attitudes. Amen. Lord, I know that's the key to maturing in you is my attitudes. Father, just help me, please strengthen me. It doesn't happen overnight, but the effect of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, the Lord will keep speaking to your heart. He'll keep showing you. And you'll say, hey, I don't need that anymore. Keep my attitude right. Or your attitude doesn't stay as foul for as long. You're like, I'm shaking myself out of this. I'm not going to allow this to control me. I'm moving on to maturity. Man, that's good stuff. See, what I have noticed in the social media platforms, in the leftist government, I'm just saying it as it is, TV talk shows, news networks, if a man or woman of God stands up for a marriage between a man and a woman as moral truth, if someone stands up and says, in the beginning, he made them male and female, if someone stands up and says, wait until you get married to engage in sexual intimacy, they aren't only made fun of, they are crucified in today's world. And so many times I see these people with great influence, athletes, actors, who once stood with resolve, with godly conviction, say, I believe the Word of God. I believe its truth. I believe Jesus' love can set you free. Now cower, back down, and publicly apologize for standing for truth. That's the day and age we live in. They aren't willing to pay a cost for truth and for righteousness. Paul paid a huge price for standing for the gospel of grace. Our young people need to see us adults standing for truth in love, and in order to effect a change. I don't want to be in love, but I don't want to be a coward in today's world. I don't want to even be mentioned among the dogs. I want to have a heart that says, Lord, in love, I'm standing for truth. If the church doesn't, this it's a sure thing this nation will crumble. But how about you? In his love, I'm going to stand for truth. So we live in a day and age where people will malign you. People come against you. I'm not saying you don't show them the love of God. People that are bound to darkness need to see the love of God. I know many testimonies of people in deep darkness because of the love of a Christian, the love of God being set free. It's still the love of God that sets people free. But we're standing up against a militant thing that is from hell that would try to run the church over with lies, with dogs, people that believe the truth at one time but now malign the truth, and it's confusing young people. That's the dogs are talking about. Amen. How about you? We're not that. We're walking in his truth. How about you? We need people that will walk in truth. The only thing that's going to set you free, God, Jesus brought grace and truth. It cannot just be grace. It's got to be grace and truth. There is still a right and a wrong. Amen. There's still truth and lies. There is still light and darkness. I don't know about you, but I want to walk in his love. I want to walk in his light. I have a heart to see the most broken people that will come into his love. There's so many broken people that need to know his love. If they knew his love, they'd come out of that darkness. They'd come out of that. Amen. So you're standing, your resolve is knowing this. The last thing, this is important, is sowing. Sowing. Can I talk about sowing a little bit? So one thing about pressing, we're always sowing something. I've said this before, but I can tell your marriage is going to be determined by your sowing and your reaping. The words you say, your acts of kindness, that's sowing. Amen? What will you sow in 2023? Our relationship with God is vertical. I can give you the gospel, but I can't make the decision for you. I can tell you about his love and his goodness. I can't bring you to repentance. That has to happen here. Amen? So we're saved by the grace through faith. No man can save us. You can't say, your job can't save you. Your spouse can't save you. Your checking account can't save you. It's only the love of God. What's Ephesians 2, 8, and 9? Let me go through these real quick. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Hallelujah. Not a result of works, so no one can boast. Your works won't save you. But the next thing it says, for we are his workmanship. Man, you're his workmanship. Amen? Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. The things that God has placed in your life, purpose, your abilities, your talents, the things that you use as your attitude of gratitude. Amen? You say, I got to help somebody. And how do we help others? Is with the giftings and abilities God has placed in your life. And that's actually sowing. See, but when we are created for these good works, it's horizontal. This work is likened to the sowing of a seed, right? When we are created for these good works, it goes from vertical with God to horizontal for with one another. This work is likened unto sowing seed. Our pressing on is an attitude of sowing. Let me show you Mark 4, 26 to 29. Amen. You hanging in there, amen? Mark 4, it says, and he was saying, this is Jesus, the kingdom of God, this is important. The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. And he goes to bed at night and gets up daily. And the seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself. First the stalk, then the head, and then the mature grain in the head. Now when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. You know, we get out of life what we sow. That's just the way it is. Hey, if you have friends, then you probably were friendly. You probably have friends that can count on you. Amen. Your sowing determines your life. That sowing with that attitude of gratitude. That's why it says God loves a cheerful giver. What's the cheerfulness about? It's about attitude. It's about attitude, amen? God loves everything. I guarantee if you're married or going to get married or want to get married, your marriage is only going to be as good as your sowing. It's only good as your sowing. It's always what you sow. I'm kind of thick-headed. But when I learned that when I just lavish and love my wife, the things that drove me nuts, either they went away or they just don't bother me anymore. They didn't become the focal point. Because when they become the focal point, what you're doing is you're sowing discord. You're sowing with a bad attitude. You're actually sowing the seed that's going to produce more of what you don't like. That's what's going to happen. But when you show in your love and his goodness and sow those kind words and that love, the things that God does for us, it takes time. It'll take a while. But all of a sudden, you'll start reaping a harvest. And man, I love reaping a harvest with the love of my wife returned to me. The love of my wife returned to me. Hallelujah. Sometimes the flesh says, nope, you've got to bring attention. You've got to bring attention. The flesh says you've got to bring attention to bad stuff. You got to do a little browbeating. But that's actually the opposite of kingdom of God. They're sowing kindness. Love, goodness, peace, encouragement. I said encouragement. And most of the time, you will sow the spouse that you want. I know that for sure. Galatians, let me just go a little bit further. Galatians 6, 7, talking about sowing and reaping. Don't you love sowing and reaping? Hey, I know I've matured in the Lord because I go to this conference, and when they would start talking about giving, man, I was excited. I was learning things about sowing and reaping, man. I was like, man, this is good stuff. When I was immature, I would fold my arms and say, why are they talking about money? But my attitude would change. And then I wasn't able to learn about the sowing and reaping concept that God has in the Bible. Now when I hear about sowing and reaping, I say, I want to learn more. Because I've learned through my own understanding and maturity about sowing, even in the financial realm. You can't outgive God. When you're liberal, amen, you start saying, God, I'm trusting you to bless the work of my hands. And I don't know how God does it, but he gives opportunity. I don't know how he does it. He blesses you, keeps your car from breaking down. There's so many things that God can do when you learn about sowing and reaping. It's in every area of life, relationships, money, at work. When you're at work, you're sowing work and getting reaping a paycheck, amen? God will never be mocked. I used to look at this and say, man, I look at this as a promise. God will never be mocked. Saint of God, child of God, God will never be mocked. For what you plant will always be the very thing you harvest. The harvest you reap, this is the Passion Translation, the harvest you reap reveals the seed that you have planted. Many people have blamed others, blame God, when in reality, it's what they've sown. That's a tough one, isn't it? But I like it when you say, God, show me that in my attitude and my thinking. Amen. You can change that. Doesn't matter where you're at now. You can change what you've been sowing. If there's areas you need to change your sowing, you can do it right now in the Lord, and you will begin to reap contrary what you were reaping before. Hallelujah. Amen. So the harvest you reap reveals the seed that you planted. If you plant the corrupt seeds of self-life into this natural realm, you can expect a harvest of corruption. He's talking to believers here. Amen. He is. If you plant the good seeds of spirit life, right, you will reap beautiful fruits that grow from the everlasting life of the Spirit. And don't allow yourself to be weary in planting good seeds. Basically, don't let your attitude change. Don't let your attitude change. And don't allow yourself to be weary in planting good seeds, for the season of reaping the wonderful harvest you planted is coming. Hallelujah. Take advantage of every opportunity. This is, he's saying, hey, this is how this works. When you realize this, take advantage of every opportunity to be a blessing to others. That's called planting seed. Especially to our brothers and sisters in the family of faith. Amen. Don't let the scripture above confuse you. Self-works. Now, this is talking about when God has saved you already, his Holy Spirit's in you, then you can't help but be a good, good giver in whatever realm, because our God is a good, good giver. So first things first, have you received God's love for you? Do you believe he loves you unconditionally? Have you received the gift of salvation? Now, I remember God speaking to me, and this is also about me receiving. You love to give, but you don't like to receive. That's pride. That's pride, by the way. You know, didn't like getting compliments. Didn't like people giving me anything. I was the giver. But God taught me there, you have to be a good receiver in order to be a good sower. You have to receive his love fully first. This is what I love. I say, Lord, I receive your forgiveness. Lord, I receive your mercy. Amen. Lord, I receive your grace. Lord, I receive your love. Lord, I receive your power through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, I receive your provision. Lord, I receive and allow you to lead my life. Hallelujah. When you become a wholehearted receiver, you become a wholehearted giver. I say, when you become a wholehearted receiver, you become a wholehearted giver. First things first, you have to receive his love. You have to receive his forgiveness. You have to receive his Holy Spirit. Amen. Like my grandfather says, you can't sell out of an empty wagon. There's nothing. And if you don't have, you can't give if you don't have anything to give. But when you receive from him, when you receive to him, he gives you things to give. Amen. You are the product of what, you know, this is also a thing. You are the product of what was sown into you as a child, teenager, husband, wife. Only one way to change some of these things. Become born again, right? Renew your mind through his spirit. Receive his forgiveness. And start sowing opposite of what you feel like certain times. Certain times, things that have been sown in us through a lifetime, we just do it. That's been sown in us. We just do the same thing, maybe that person, that parent, or whatever. But when the Holy Spirit starts showing about your attitude, then you start doing opposite. You start sowing kindness when you feel like sowing a knuckle sandwich. You start sowing, right? And that's when you start sowing those things that are opposite of what you feel like, you know a harvest is on its way. I said a harvest is on its way. Hallelujah. A harvest is on its way. Hallelujah. That's the concept of that. That is a concept, man. That is a spiritual law right there, sowing and reaping, whether it be in your finances. So I learned that. So when they start talking about giving, I get excited. I said, man, I hope I can learn something here to stir me up to realize that you cannot outgive God. You can't outgive a kindness to your wife or your husband or relationships or friends. You can't do it. This is what I've learned, too, with wayward children. If you have any wayward children or relationships, you can start sowing where you're at. Because you're always you reap what you've sowed, but you can start sowing opposite now. And you never know what the seed of God will reap. I said, you never know what you will reap when you start sowing the goodness, the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You'll be surprised. But many times we get discouraged and realize, hey, you're just reaping what you've sown. But you say, Lord, change my attitude there. I'm going to start reaping, sowing otherwise. Amen? Because he will always reward sowing. Hallelujah. Let me just read a few more. 2 Corinthians 9:6 is so much about sowing that Paul talks about. Now I say this, the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Did I say that? I didn't say that, right? The preacher didn't say that with his hand in your pocket. That has to do with everything, right? But he's talking about finances here. Now I say this, the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And the one who sows generously will also reap generously. Each one must do just as he has determined in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. What's he saying? God loves a good attitude. You're giving to the Lord. You're realizing, man, you're not losing anything. Man, when you're praying for people, there's so many different ways. I'll get there real quick. And God is able to make all grace overflow to you. I've realized even in the finances, Lord, thank you for your grace there. I want to be a giver. I'm not smart enough. I can't figure it out, but he can. So I've been a sower and a reaper. I remember one time a couple of years ago reaping something and like, Lord, you know, I was thankful to the Lord. I like, man, why, Lord? And immediately it's like, it just came to my mind, sowing. But you've been sowing. You've been sowing. And you know what it did when I did that? It said, Lord, I want to be more of a sower. Not just to church, but to my family. The liberality to those around me. Amen. Amen. All grace overflow to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, is it in some things or in everything? In everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Saying, man, I may be a giver, Lord. Being also, try to keep going, I try to keep ahead of myself. Let me just a couple more things. Now, he who supplies seed, who supplies the seed? He is God. To the sower, who's the sower? You and I. The sower and bread for food, supplying all of our needs, amen? And much more, tell you the truth. For food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. What's that mean? That you can continue doing good works. More and more and more good works. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality. Who here wants to be liberal in a good way? Oh man. funny to me. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. He's taught they were receiving a gift to give to the Jerusalem church. And if you read this, if you read the whole context, he says, it was your guys' idea to give to the Jerusalem church. He says, other churches have started it, but you didn't start it. He says, you need to start what you began. He says, and you give out of your means of what you have. Amen. So what kind of seed do you want to sow? What will be your resolve for this year, saints? What will be your resolve? Let the Lord speak to you. As you, one thing about maturity and growing in the Lord is you become very focused on what you're doing. You go beyond just living life to actually saying, okay, Lord, what can I do? How can I have an effect? That's called sowing. What kind of sowing? So what kind of seed do you want to sow this year? Do you want it to be finances? Do you want it to be encouragement to others? Is it telling the other the good news? That's a seed, amen? That's the most important seed that can be sown. Inviting others to church. Being a blessing to your neighbor. Praying for people. You got to be intentional. When you grow in maturity in the Lord, one thing is you become intentional. You come out of just trying to survive in life because you know he has your back, hallelujah, amen. You know he's going to take care of you. You're growing in that, and because you're not just living in survival mode now, now you become intentional. Lord, how can I sow? How do you want me to sow? Lord, where can I have an effect in my sphere of influence? I don't know about you, but this year, I plan on being intentional. You have to be intentional when you come into his maturity. He'll show it to you. He'll say, hey, I'm going, this is where our faith become feet and working, being his hands and his feet. Amen. I've decided because of what the Lord has done in my life and stirring my heart, I'm going to be more intentional than ever. Because knowing that he's got my back, knowing he's going to supply all my needs, knowing that I reap what I sow. Man, when we realize that concept, I'm telling you, you begin to sow and sow. You begin to bless others, whether it be finances, whether kind words, praying for other people, because the truth of the matter is it comes back to you and I. Amen. Can we stand up today? You said, hey, guys, I said these things before. Your marriage will be as good as you sow. Your finances will be as good as you sow. Are you lonely? Sow kindness to others. Amen. Sow in serving others. You know, look at your life from like a 1,000-foot view, and you will see what you've sown. It's not a thing of condemnation. It's just saying, Lord, thank you for showing me. And when you have a good attitude, you say, Lord, I want to be a sower. So when it says, hey, God loves a cheerful heart, he's talking about attitude. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts today about attitude. If you know him, you just say, Lord, I belong to you. Show me these things. Lord, I want to be intentional this year. Lord, any areas, it could be through family, spouse, friends. Lord, show me. Show me that there's an area where I need to change my attitude, where I need an area where I need to repent. I love where it says, he says, and if you don't realize this, he'll show you. So you can trust him. He loves you. He's for you, not against you. He'll show you. Lord, what do I need to change my attitude? Amen. Lord, I'm going to be intentional this year. I'm going to come into more and more maturity. Saints, we don't ever stop maturing. I don't care what side of the pulpit you're at or who you think you are, what your job is. We continue to mature in him. Amen. We continue to have our sphere, our impact around us, our sphere begins to grow. It begins to multiply. We begin to see the harvest of what we planted. Amen. As we begin to plant in our children. Amen. I have to admit something right now. I'm going to be transparent. So I went down to see my son. He's going to be getting married. And I have this thing of always being in a hurry. Is anybody there too? It's like, I got things to do. And so I went down to see him where he lives in Surprise. And I wanted to visit him. But yeah, I was in a hurry. Like, I got to get home. I got to get unpacked. I got to get ready for church. And this is what I spoke this morning. Said to my heart, saying, stop. You know, sow unto your son. sow into him. Enjoy him. Don't be in a hurry all the time. And it's only because with the Lord, I matured a little bit yesterday. I matured. He showed me that. And then when I got home, I realized he's going to be getting married here in March. He moved up his wedding date, and I said, well, I called him, I said, I got to spend some more time with you before you get married. Because I know once you get married, I may not hear from him for a while. I became intentional. I said, son, I gotta have you for a half a day before you get married. I got to hang out with you. I got to be intentional. That's the kingdom of God. Jesus, yes. What I'm afraid of in the kingdom of God is we become this, okay, for by his stripes you're healed. As we've all become about these things, he does heal. He does things. But how about the underlying things of sowing? How about the underlying things of sowing and reaping in the kingdom of God? How about the underlying things of our attitudes? Father, that's true maturity. That's true maturity. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the Holy Spirit ministering to hearts today. I declare, Lord, I know without a doubt this is a word from you. Lord, I know without a doubt this is a word from you. So I thank you for the seed of the Word of God that's being sown through the Holy Spirit right now, landing on hearts that are willing to receive it. You have to receive it. You have to be willing to receive it. And if you're having trouble, receive it. Say, Lord, help me. Help me. If you're struggling with an attitude, say, Lord, help me. I don't want to live a life this way. Because it won't change until that attitude changes. That is up to you. We thank you for it today, Lord. We love you. We bless you. We thank you for the anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage. Father, we thank you for the wisdom of God, the truth of God that breaks those things that would come against us, condemnation. If there's any condemnation, Father God, I tell that lying spirit to shut its mouth right now in Jesus' name. And we just speak the love and the truth of God. We thank you for the grace of God. Lord, the liberal grace of God in our hearts, changing, delivering, setting people free. Lord, we thank you for being people, intentional people this year. We love you. We honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you don't know the Lord or you need prayer, I invite you to come. If you need prayer,